Modern secular American culture values one characteristic probably above most others, and that's pride. One doesn't have to look very far to see an actor or a musician or a TV personality or an athlete boasting about their talents or their status or their money or their skills. We listen to politicians brag and lie about their accomplishments and what they'll do if we would just give them more power. Our kids are taught in schools to value self-esteem above pretty much all other virtues, and it's often posed as the solution to their problems. We can also look to most of the popular movies, where we often see the protagonist righteously gets revenge against an injustice that he was suffered. Perhaps the least valued characteristic in modern American culture is meekness. People who are weak or small in stature, helpless, pushovers are often described as meek. It's almost always used in a negative connotation to belittle people or disparage someone who's seen as lesser in our society. You'd be hard-pressed to find a movie where the protagonist suffers some type of injustice or wrong and instead of seeking revenge responds to his enemy with a heart of meekness or a humble heart. But tonight I want us to see that meekness is not only the opposite of weakness or being a pushover, but is a trait that is essential for believers as we strive to be like our Savior. As a brief review, the Beatitudes were the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The primary audience for the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' disciples. However, there were other people allowed to listen in. So we should see the Sermon on the Mount as a message to us, the church, to strengthen our faith, but also to the believers, offering them life in the kingdom. BJ explained during his initial talk for the Beatitudes that Jesus is laying out characteristics and traits and blessings for disciples. But it's important to remember, as BJ pointed out, that these characteristics are not natural to us, but as Christians, they must be worked on and grown to be evident in our lives like the fruit of the Spirit. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, all Christians are to be like this. Wes told us about the first Beatitude, that the poor in spirit are the ones to have the kingdom of heaven. Wes told us the poor in spirit, to be poor in spirit is to take an accurate view of oneself. And that lowliness is where the blessing lies because it shows us our need for Christ. Next we heard from Skylar, who told us about the second Beatitude, that the mournful are blessed because they will be comforted. Skylar explained that we must be mournful for our sin in order to be comforted through Christ. And that mourning brings us low. And that lowliness is what brings us to the third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But what does it mean to be meek from a biblical standpoint? Growing up in a Bible-believing church, I heard the word meek on a pretty regular basis. The definition I was always given growing up was that meek meant power under control. Coincidentally enough, that definition was given to me by my father when he gave a talk on the same Beatitude on a random Sunday night service. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 years ago or so, and I know what you're thinking, 30 years ago, it's impossible, but it happened. I'm just so young. But working with that definition, I had a mental picture in my mind of a bodybuilder taking a chihuahua for a walk on a leash. The bodybuilder could easily pick up the chihuahua and swing him over his head like a professional calf roper, but he doesn't. He lovingly walks the dog and cleans up after him per his HOA regulations. But this mental picture didn't tell the whole story of what Christian meekness is. The world will tell us that meekness is spinelessness or weakness. In fact, one of the definitions Webster gives for meek is deficient in spirit and courage. But that's not what Christ-like meekness is. It's not even close. It's actually the opposite. The commentator Matthew Henry said, meekness is a quiet spirit that calms our raging and deepens our humility. It's the kind of gentleness and self-control even when the heart is hot, and that requires strength. You see, a weak person cannot be meek. There's only one person in the Old Testament that the Bible calls meek. Not only does the Bible call him meek, but he calls him the meekest man on earth. Numbers 12:3 says, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all other people who were on the face of the earth. The ESV Study Bible points out that the term meek for Moses here speaks more to his attitude than his demeanor. It's important to remember that Moses was a sinner and not perfect by any means, but Moses had a humble heart before God, and he had his priorities in order. First was God, second was other people, and third was himself. We saw this repeatedly through Moses' life, as he was questioned and criticized almost constantly by the people of Israel. But he didn't fight back. He continued to obey God with humility toward God and man. But when it came to the people of Israel disobeying and dishonoring God, it was a very different story. Moses became a lion, consumed with righteous anger on behalf of his God. We saw this on display when he broke the Ten Commandment tablets. He didn't break the tablets because the people had hurt him, but because they had broken their covenant with God. Matthew Henry, the commentator, goes on to say, "True biblical meekness is a self-control of strength that makes us a lamb in our own cause and lions for the cause of Christ." Moses' aggressive actions reveal him to be much more like Jesus, whom he was pointing to. Now, Christ was obviously the perfect example of meekness. Christ, being of infinite worth, left his throne and debased himself to live as a man. Christ, in his meekness, lived a life of hardship. He was mocked and questioned. He had several attempts made on his life before he was ultimately arrested, tried, and murdered for crimes that he hadn't committed. But also in his meekness, he called the Pharisees vipers and whitewashed tombs. Not because they had hurt his feelings, but because they were leading people to hell with their self-righteousness. And in his meekness, he flipped tables in the temple, not because they had wronged him, but because they were desecrating the temple and dishonoring God. The idea of a meek Messiah would have been shocking to Jesus' Jewish audience. This would have been completely counter to what they expected from their Messiah, as they were seeking an end to their oppression. But Jesus flipped the script on them, and instead of a violent revolution, he challenged them instead to have meek hearts in the face of their enemy. Becoming meek requires us to shift our priorities from ourselves and our interest to God's alone. John the Baptist said in John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." See, meekness is not weakness at all. Meekness is humility. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." But this posture of humility is more than just introspective as it relates to our feelings about ourselves and our relationship to God. As the previous two Beatitudes pointed us, the previous two were more introspective about our state of our heart towards God. But the third Beatitude is unique. It's the first Beatitude that directs us not only introspectively or in our relationship to God, but also in our relationship to others. Martin Lloyd-Jones points this out. He says, "I am ready to face both of these things." He's referring to being poor in spirit and mourning for his sin. "But how much more difficult is it to allow other people to say things like that about me? I instinctively resent it." He goes on to say, "To be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves because we see there is nothing worth defending." During preparation for this message, that thought hit me pretty hard. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that as we move through the Beatitudes, it's the natural place to land. Once we realize that we are in fact poor in spirit and destitute without Christ, and that our sin is so putrid that we have to mourn over it, we're left at a point where we have nothing left to defend and there's no pride left to be seen. We are helpless before a holy God. When we see ourselves for who we truly are, no one can harm us. John Bunyan wrote, "He that is down need fear no fall." So we leave it with God. No matter the suffering, no matter the treatment, we trust God with a quiet and a humble heart that God will stand for us. So what is the meek person's blessing? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now that we have a better idea of what biblical meekness looks like, let's take a look at the blessing. In part, the meek Christian has already received their blessing. They've already inherited the earth. The meek Christian has already received their blessing when they repented of their sin and turned to Jesus for salvation. The meek Christian has Jesus. And that's a blessing of immeasurable worth. We have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit. And if that's not the whole world, then I don't know what is. Romans 5 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. But God, in his typical fashion, heaps blessings on top of blessings. So not only is he giving us his Son and his Spirit, but he's also promised us a share in his Son's inheritance. Jesus is the Son of God, and so he is the rightful heir of the Father. Hebrews 1:2 says, but in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Of all things. So we see that Jesus' inheritance is everything. It's the whole world. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And in 2 Timothy 2:12, the Bible says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Martin Lloyd-Jones summarizes it like this. Do not be worried about your suffering. You be meek and suffer, and you shall reign with him. You are going to inherit the earth with him. Jesus said in Luke 14, when he was given a parable about humility, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So what implications does this have for us going forward? Well, first, a word to anyone outside of Christ. Being meek is not something that comes natural to anyone. We can appear meek by the world standard. We can be quiet and a pushover. But to be biblically meek is impossible for a natural man. The fact of the matter is, if you are outside Christ, you are not, and you cannot be truly meek. This may manifest itself in a lot of ways, the way you interact with others or think about others. Maybe it's difficult to suffer a real or perceived injustice. Maybe your status is the foundation for your happiness, and not having that recognized causes a lot of pain. Or maybe you just have a high view of yourself and you find yourself looking down on others or blaming others for your problems. But much worse than not being able to be meek is that you miss out on the unbelievable blessing. If you are outside of Christ, you have no inheritance. You are not one of God's children, and you cannot share in Christ's inheritance of the world. The good news is that God's offer of salvation still stands. Christ did not come to save the meek. He came to save the proud, the arrogant, and the selfish. He wants you to claim the inheritance through his Son by repenting and turning from your sin and believing and trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. It's the only way to be right with God, and it's an offer that's open today. In a word to my brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we are saved, does not mean that meekness is something that just happens, unfortunately. Like all fruit of the Spirit, it's something that has to be developed and grown through patience and practice. So are we practicing meekness in our daily lives? As believers, we acknowledge that we've already been exposed as sinners. Everybody already knows. There's nothing worth defending because we recognize that we are destitute without Christ. There's nothing left to defend. But are we living that way? After all, I mean, it feels pretty good to lean into our prideful nature to convince ourselves or other people that we have it together or we're something that we really aren't. But we're called to be like our Savior. Our Savior is meek and mild, so are we? Do we see ourselves for who we really are, as nothing without Christ? Are we living as our Savior lived, as a lamb for his own cause, but a lion for the cause of his Father? Or are we finding ourselves covered in an overtone of pride or self-righteousness? If so, we can still claim the promise of the gospel. Repent of our sins and trust the Spirit's help for us to live meekly like our Savior and claim the blessings of our inheritance. you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, so that we can see exactly how we are to be living. We thank you for your grace as we struggle and strive to live like our Savior. We pray as we go into the new year that you would give us resolve as we strive to be like our Savior and live meekly. And we thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.